Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the new Mutual Audio Network. Welcome home.
The following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance.
Welcome to the Sonic Side, the world's largest and longest-running showcase of modern audio drama. I'm Jack Ward with my co-host.
Yes, 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 I'm David Alt. You know that saying that over and over again for a week has gotten a tad repetitive.
I was hoping it would get us to episode 817 more quickly. Walking in the windy, empty wasteland could make someone lose their minds if they didn't have something to think about.
Oh, fair enough. Luckily, I keep several dozen full-length plays in my head for just such an occasion.
Wish I was in your head.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
What? Why not?
Well, think about it. Everyone thinks that if you were just inside someone else's head, you'd understand them, but that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? Why?
Well, you've had 60-plus...
Careful.
40-plus years inside your head. Each of us has grown accustomed to the cacophony of noises, ideas, strange notions, and intrusive thoughts that rattle around at a fast speed. Unless you're used to such a thing, it would be monstrous to behold. You might never recover.
I never thought of it that way.
Really? Because you're the one who writes these. Well,
can we stick to today's show? You said I had a solution out of the wasteland and back to Mr. Crow.
Yes, of course. It was something you said.
Something I said.
About where we were.
We're nowhere. What did I say?
Well, actually, you said Nowhereville. And, that's exactly where we are.
Where?
Nowhereville. Specifically, episodes 1 and 2 of the show, Nowhereville. And if we use our Nowhereville to hitch a ride onto tonight's feature, I'm sure that's what Mr. Crow has done as well.
You still haven't told me who he is.
Soon, Jack, because if we're going to get out, our features begin right here.
On the Sonic Society.
Where is Nowhere? Nestled in between the gently rolling prairies and mountains looming on the horizon is a little town, like an uncharted island in an ocean of empty wilderness, waiting. Welcome back, folks, to your favorite radio show. It's me, your host and pal, Jess. You might know me better as the lady who lives in the trailer on the edge of town. You know, the trailer that local kids like to throw rocks at after school. And you're listening to 1110 AM on that radio dial. Nowhere on air. The only late-night community-run radio show in this slice of the Alberta expanse. Before we get into today's stories, we have a few housekeeping announcements to make. Due to recent totally fine municipally enforced budget cuts that were announced at the last town meeting, we don't have the money to have any real popular music on air anymore. We'll still do our best to get as much late night fun and news as we can, and spice up the breaks in between. However, I'm sure the money's being put to good use. Going towards things like other underfunded things. Like town council's secret emergency fund for some impending, looming, terrible thing that we all know is coming. Apparently. Also, the show is no longer broadcasting at 3 a.m. at the repetitious request of a number of our older listeners, so as you may have noticed, we are now coming to you live at 8 p.m., which is certainly better for my sleep schedule, I must admit. But also, unfortunately, due to the aforementioned budget decrease, a town council choice which I am in no way upset about, today marks our intern slash all-around super helpful employee Jordan's last day at the station. I want to thank Jordan on air for all her hard work and the blood, sweat, and tears she shed for the sake of community radio. Be proud of everything you accomplished, all the experience you gained, scars you earned, and secret knowledge learned that you can never share because no one will believe. We will miss you, and from the two of us left here at the station, please stay in touch. Now, Jordan, like the sweetheart she is, got me a little thank you gift, and it has been sitting here on my desk since I got here, but I promised I would wait until we were on air to open it, but, well, I'm excited. She insisted it wasn't much, and she found it at the thrift store in the basement of the Anglican church, but, okay, let's open this. It's a mug. My very own mug that I can drink coffee and rainwater out of. And it says, World's Best Grandpa. This is the best gift I have ever been given. Jordan, I can see her in the booth and her cheeks are rosy with blood rush. Thank you. I'm not kidding. We will miss you. We miss you already. And it's official. I'm your grandpa now. This week's first story. A dream I had last night and the sense of inevitability and dread it filled me with that I haven't been able to shake. I'm at a diner. Not Mountain View Diner, just a diner. Picture a diner and you're probably seeing it. Walls, floors, ceiling, windows, the works. I sit down in the booth, the last one in the far corner, and someone comes and sits across from me. It's me. No shorter, no taller, not really older in the conventional sense, but aged. Like, we lived the same amount of years up until that point, but there was more life and happening and heartbreak jammed into hers. Her eyes are the same green as mine, but they look tired. She has scars, some old, some fresh. Her palms are rough and calloused. I know this because she reaches across the cool linoleum table and grabs my hands. And it's at that moment I realize up until this point in the dream there has been no sound and nothing casts a shadow, but when she touches my hands, the world fixes itself, or she, I mean, me, the me that's not me, fixes everything. Then she opens her mouth to speak, and I can tell by the look in her eyes that she's about to say something, about to unfold before me some wisdom I have been searching for my whole life, some secret knowledge bruised so deep within me that I don't even know how to find the ache on my own. But just as she parts her lips to form those words, I wake up. Dreams are weird, aren't they? Our brains, talking to themselves while we sleep, telling us stories that seldom make sense but are somehow overflowing with the meaning we give them. Now, the news. We've had a few reports of sightings of the town founder, Elmer Braden Jameson, tonight along Main Street, right through the middle of town at the second and last set of lights. If you come across him, be sure to pay him respect and wish him a happy birthday. 185 is a big deal, or so I'm told by my otherworldly friends. There have also been reports that the river was fuller than usual of memories today. And furthermore, weather forecast predictions say that this will continue for the rest of the week and on into next week. Weatherman Todd Stevenson attributes both of these reports to the fact that the town's 150th birthday is next week. Thursday, to be precise. As a reminder to all residents of Braden, if you are down by the river and choose to enter the water, don't panic if the appearance of the reflection on the surface is not consistent with your own. Simply wish the memory peace, move carefully to a new waiting spot, and under no circumstances give it your name. Speaking of Braden's 150th birthday, keep your eyes peeled for town-wide centennial and a half festivities and events starting Sunday afternoon with a new, special exhibit opening up at the museum about pieces of Braden's history. Tickets can be purchased in person, over the phone, or via carrier pigeon. Here's an insider tip. Get your ticket for as early a tour as you can. Who knows how long the exhibit about the controversial and morally problematic parts of the town's past will stay uncensored by our benevolent town council, but I promise you those are the most interesting parts. Now, a public service announcement. If you are ever going out onto the prairies by yourself, tell somebody you are venturing out. If something should happen to you, they may not ever find you, but at least they'll know where to start looking. Remember, you're not lost if no one is looking for you. It's easy to forget the things that walk away and out onto the open fields. The horizon is very far away. The openness swallows you up like the mouth of a hungry cosmic being sucking you into oblivion. This concludes our public service announcement. Here's a little fun fact for you listeners. While Braden may have been founded 150 years ago, it didn't start existing in the conventional sense until about 60 years ago. Isn't that interesting? Inexplicable, but interesting. Weatherman Todd says a meteor shower, if the clouds decide we can watch, will be visible tonight. As per is customary and compulsory, all lights must be switched off when the stellar light show starts, so we can see it as clearly and safely as possible. And so it cannot see us. It is scheduled to start within the next 2 hours and may last quite far into the night. In other news, our local RCMP office released a statement today saying the Dogman alert level was lowered from blood red danger to crimson high. I think this deserves a celebration, don't you? The Mountain View Diner certainly does, and is offering half off a cup of coffee and a slice of pie until Wednesday night. Congratulations, Brayden. Those midnight howls in Old Man Wilbur's field seem to be working as an effective deterrent. Keep up the good work. Here's your daily dose of traffic, night edition. Be wary about welcoming hitchhikers into your vehicle, especially along Route 22 and Highway 3. People are seldom who they say they are, and, I mean, you never know where they've been. They could be dangerous, like a hitchhiking serial killer, or the vengeful spirit of someone killed by a hitchhiking serial killer, or one of Farmer Crawford's boys trying to skip town again. Ethan, if you're listening, please go on home. And now, here's a word from an anonymous sponsor. Been a while since we've had one of those.
There is a meeting happening at the old abandoned steel quonset on the north edge of the county at 8:32 p.m. on Wednesday. If you were not already aware of this meeting, this doesn't concern you. If you have to ask what the meeting is about, this doesn't concern you. If this meeting doesn't concern you and you show up, it will be the last meeting you ever attend.
Folks, with the town's anniversary coming up, I've been thinking about, well, past-related things. Like, history. The things that happened in the way back when. And how they leave their mark on the land and on us. Even a century later, our lives are shaped and impacted by the lives of people who lived so long ago. Their joys, their toils, their hopes, their dreams, their mistakes. Those that came before us will always be a part of us. That's a given. The things they did well, the things they didn't do so well, the things that happened to them, we carry it. Sometimes in ways we don't realize. Or our knowledge, our new insights and understanding can turn the history we carry with us into a burden. But it's a part of us. And what we choose to do with that part and our awareness is what counts. How we choose to carry what they left us. These next few weeks, we remember those that came before us. We remember what they did, even their mistakes. We would not be honoring them properly or ourselves if we did not remember their mistakes. They, those many years ago, and even not so many years ago, made mistakes so we could do better. They were teaching us even without knowing they were or meaning to do it. We have been given the chance to be perpetually better than they were. Every year that passes is a chance to perpetually be kinder than they were. Just something I've been thinking about. For the next few weeks, the town of Braden will be hosting a group from out of town called The Faceless. Here's a list of behavioral guidelines Mayor Simon outlined in a press statement this morning regarding our new guests. Contrary to what their name might suggest, they do in fact have faces. However, checking is not recommended. Permission is required to look at them directly. Face to face. I learned that the hard way. You may speak about them, but do not speak to them unless they speak to you. If you need to initiate conversation for whatever reason, you must do so in a way that does not address them specifically, such as, "You know, I'd really like to talk to a member of a mysterious society. I wonder if one is nearby." If they respond and identify themselves, it is safe to continue conversation. Their business is their business. Braden is a town full of welcoming, open, neighborly people, but I must caution you to refrain from asking what brings them to town. Things will be revealed if they need to be. It's just a matter of time. It doesn't concern you. It's quite rude to stick your nose into other people's business, the mayor said. Members can be identified by the following qualities: dark, form-concealing clothes, an uncanny strangeness, a fickle relationship with corporeal existence, a face that seems familiar but oh so forgettable, and inability to make ugly sunglasses look really good somehow. I don't even know how they do it, but anyways. When asked how long our guests would be staying, the mayor just sort of shrugged his cardigan-cloaked shoulders and said, "Time is weird and dangerous, and also arguably fake." I mean, he's got a point. Anyways, if there were any members of some mysterious society staying in our town, listening to this broadcast, I'd probably say something to them like, "Welcome, and I hope you have pleasant intentions for all our sakes," which we all know is a traditional Braden greeting. The meteor shower has started, folks. I popped outside during the break and looked down into the dark void, my body held to the earth only by gravity and separated from that speckled abyss only by layers of invisible gas. It's beautiful. No matter how many shooting stars you've seen, something about them never grows old. Anyways, I could see the lights of the town all going dark like candles being snuffed out by a sudden wind. We'll be going dark here too in the next minute, but we'll still be able to send out some noise. One last cry into the dark to serenade you during this cosmic feat. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back, folks. You're tuned in to 11:10 a.m. on that little dial, nowhere on air. It's me, your host and pal, Jess, live from the station with some noise to shatter the heavy silence brought by the impending dusk. We don't have too much in terms of scheduled content tonight, so hopefully we'll have a moment to take a few calls later on. So don't wander off. Who knows where you'll end up? First, the weather. Old Man Wilbur says a storm's on its way because he found 7 coffee grounds at the bottom of his coffee at Mountain View Diner this morning. Weatherman Todd Stevenson says science agrees and predicts a 90% chance of a thunderstorm blowing in over our heads within the next little while, probably just after sunset. That's very exciting to hear. I love storms. Keep your eyes on the skies, folks, and be extra nice to anything powered by electricity for the next little while. Maybe offer a few encouraging words like, "Wow, you're doing a great job converting that electricity into functional energy." We don't want another power outage like the one we had a few summers ago, do we? Let's take a look at the news. The river started flowing backwards today. It took people half an hour to figure out something was wrong. Everyone just stood on the banks for a while, humming and hawing with their fingers on their chins, going, "Something's different." At this moment, there are no apparent consequences as a result of this change, but it is certainly puzzling and just a little concerning. When asked about a plan of action, Mounty John, superintendent of the local RCMP division, said in a statement that, quote, "We don't really have jurisdiction over rivers or the laws of nature, or is this physics? And honestly, we're just hoping it'll fix itself. I'm sure it will in time," unquote. We'll let you know if there are any other developments that arise from this situation, but I want to assure you all that it's probably nothing to worry about. Weird things happen sometimes. Worrying is seldom an effective means of fixing them. You can't worry a river into flowing the way it's supposed to. You can't worry something into unhappening. I've tried. Br- Braden's Amateur Bird Watching Society would like to remind you to take care to be sure that you know the difference between songbirds and the other things that aren't birds that sit in the trees singing. If you aren't sure which, don't look up, but leave out some birdseed anyways. Whichever it is, I'm sure it'll appreciate it. You know the building? The one across the riverbank, half a kilometer from the water filtration building. The big, empty one no one really knows anything about except that it's, well, big and empty and abandoned and strangely industrial. Well, I met a lady in town today who wasn't from town. It's okay, she's gone, and I promise she wasn't that scary, or carrying any dark, nefarious secret that could one day bring about our destruction, as far as I could tell, but I'm not the greatest judge of character. Anyways, I could tell she was from out of town because she was very well dressed, smelled vaguely of smog and busy streets and tall, steel-boned buildings. Also, it's a small town, and I'd never seen her before, and we were at the gas station. She was paying for her gas, and I was there not doing that, and so I asked what brought her to town, if she was just passing through, or... She said sort of, which was a little confusing, but then she explained she had just finalized the purchase of the building. You know, the one I was talking about earlier. I pretended to be excited, even though I liked the building exactly the way it was. Abandoned, gradually crumbling with age, and wonderfully explorable. Not that I have ever been inside, because that's trespassing. Anyways, so I asked her, "What are you planning on doing with the building?" So I could tell all of you what was to become of it, and she suddenly became very serious and guarded and told me that she was working on behalf of an unnamed corporation, and she wasn't at liberty to identify any further details. "Fun," I said, not sure how to respond, and she got back in her sleek, expensive-looking car, and that was that. So, folks, just so you know, not that any of us have ever trespassed on that property because it's always been illegal. From now on, it's chain link fences, security cameras, probable arrest, and almost definite criminal charges illegal. So there's that to consider. As you have probably heard and can probably hear right now, both through the radio waves and outside your own homes, the thunderstorm is upon us, raging outside. It's my favorite time of year, storm season, when the sky becomes slabs of stormy sea marble cracking against each other, and bright, white, searing hot spears of energy and light disappear as quickly as they flash, swallowing the sky for a brief moment in the color of eternity. Honestly, it's taking a lot of self-control right now to stay put and not go outside and stand in a field to absorb this storm. But I can't. I know I can't. One, I have a job to do, and a duty to you, the listeners. And two, as Martha has repeatedly reminded me over the years, standing in an open field in a thunderstorm and having my strangely bad luck is a good recipe for getting struck by lightning. Have any of you ever been struck by lightning? I haven't, but I always thought it would be interesting. Fun, even, if that's not too insensitive, which doesn't really help in deterring me from fulfilling my desire of watching the storm from beneath it in a flat, flowering meadow. Anyways, back to our regularly scheduled programming. What's next? Ah, time to pay the bills. Here's a word from our sponsor.
Think of a color. Pick a shade and hold it in your mind. Now picture yourself reaching out and taking that color in your hands. How does it feel? Is it soft? Cold? Damp? Does it create that pins and needles sensation in the nerves of your palm? Now take a deep breath. How does the color smell? Like freshly dug earth? Wet stones in a creek bed? A hint of lilac on a spring breeze? Now listen. How does the color sound? A crackling forest fire in the August air? The whistling of a gale force wind? Sparrows speaking softly outside your window in the quiet hours before dawn? Finally, how does your color taste? Saccharin maple poured out over the snow? Dust in the air after a rock slide? Molasses in a cup of rich coffee? Pat's Paints and Homeware Supply Store. There's no paints like Pat's. There's no place like home.
We've received calls and social media messages from a number of you over the break regarding the current thunderstorm. Apparently, there are tendrils extending from the cloud mass, like swirling appendages of some terrible Lovecraftian horror, according to multiple eyewitnesses. I sent a text to Weatherman Todd to ask if perhaps it was a funnel cloud, or the early stages of a possible tornado, but he told me there was nothing on his radar to suggest that's what it could be. In fact, he said, to contradict what science had said earlier, there was nothing on the radar to indicate a storm was even taking place, and that there shouldn't even be clouds in the sky. But there are. Dark, brooding clouds swallowing up the last remnants of daylight. These clouds that shouldn't be there, reportedly, appear as if they are pulsing, and reaching out and down towards the earth, writhing and twisting, visible in the strobing flashes. Young Lizzie Shaw said in her tweet to us that she gets the vibe that it's alive, IDK, and that it seems squid-like. I know what you mean, Lizzie. More on this storm as it develops. As summer continues, I know that it's time where all you high school students out there apply to get summer jobs, and the prospect of your first job interview can be a frightening, unfamiliar thing. So today, we have for you 6 tips on acing your job interview. Don't worry, it's a lot less gory than you may have been told. One, arrive a few minutes early.
10 minutes is often the accepted amount. However, considering none of the clocks in Braden seem to obey the schedule set by the sun and rotation of the earth, the problem our benevolent town council is still working on in collaboration with a mysterious society that may or may not be the one visiting our town, maybe consider arriving 15 minutes early, in case your clocks are not closely aligned. 2. A firm handshake and consistent eye contact are great ways to make a first impression. Do not blink for the entirety of the interview to prove they have your undivided attention, and show off one of the special skills they may ask about later. 3. Wondering what to wear? Dress for the job. Unless the job is... Under no circumstances, dress like that. 4. Your potential employer is legally not allowed to ask you about any illnesses, conditions, or curses you may have or have inherited from your family. You are in no way obligated to answer should the question arise. 6. Lastly, do not give your potential employer your full name. Specifically, the legally mandated second name you were ritually given the dusk following your birth. Not even after you get the job. You've been given that name for a reason. A secret reason. Most people give secrets a bad rep. They'll tell you that they're dangerous and will inevitably lead to your downfall, but sometimes, secrets keep you safe. Sometimes they are the barbed wire fence keeping out the things with fur and fangs. Folks, we're going to open up the phone lines here and take your calls about the current storm situation. It's right on top of us now. The studio trembles with each roll of thunder, and we've had to close the blinds because the lightning is coming rapidly now, and, well, it's almost unbelievably bright and green. Well, never mind, listeners. It seems the phones are down. Not sure if that was the wind or something else, but it seems we are unable to take any calls at this time. Why don't you send us your thoughts on Twitter instead? Or, if you're more comfortable and practiced, contact us telepathically and we'll do our best to relay your thoughts. For now, I guess we have some time to kill. Let's see if there's anything going on in the community worth mentioning. Nope, nothing's going on event-wise in the next week here. Not really a surprise if you haven't noticed. It's a small town. There isn't much to do here. But that's okay. I'm sure plenty of things will still happen whether we plan them or not. While the moral association of these things is impossible for me to predict, good or bad, I can almost guarantee that things will happen. So, we have that to look forward to. Things. I'm just looking at my notes here to see if there's anything we missed or if it's time for us to sign off. Unfortunately, Weatherman Todd has not been responding to my messages about the unusual storm, so I'm afraid there's no new information we're able to offer you. The only advice I can give you is stay inside, stay safe, and stay alert. We'll ride this storm out together. The rain's getting heavier now. There's a weight beyond just the humidity. Can you feel it? Like a heartbeat trembling in the sky, each roll of thunder sounds almost like the exhale of some gargantuan celestial being. As if the clouds were alive above us. Are those raindrops tapping against your window, or a thousand fingertips tapping on the glass, trying to get your attention? Probably best not to check. Try to sleep and not think about it. The storm will pass, and you will rise in a clear and bright morning. The storm always passes, and you are always left standing. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, that's this week's show.
And while folks are looking up the information for Nowhereville, we're still here.
There.
There.
Nearly.
Nearly?
Well, I was right that our antagonist has used this opportunity to go back in time.
Back?
Yes, the screwdriver suggests that he's gained some boost of signal to... 2008.
2008?
Yeah, until next week, where all will be solved.
All?
Well, most. Just bring a calculator.
Good day, everyone.
This has been a Sonic Cinema production.